Hello, and welcome to another Emmy edition of Awards Daily's Watercooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and in another exclusive Emmy contender interview, I'm talking to Veep star Tim Simons. Now, over the course of Veep's 7 seasons, Tim's performance as Jonah Ryan has consistently stood out as one of the highlights in this great ensemble. And today, Tim and I talk about what it means to end this classic political sitcom, his growth in political awareness, and as he says, his loudmouth on Twitter, and some of his very favorite Jonah-branded insults. So kick back and enjoy as I talk to Veep's Tim Simons. And thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Emmy-focused special editions over the next month and into June. Hey, Tim. This is Clarence with Awards Daily.
Hey, Clarence.
How are you?
How's it going?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty well.
Awesome. I really enjoyed the finale, and I've thoroughly enjoyed you over the past couple of seasons in particular, so congratulations.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So let's go back to way back in season one. When you started exploring Jonah Ryan as a character, did you ever imagine that he would end up where he did at the end of season 7?
This question has come up before, and I think sort of in examining it, I think if you had pitched me at the beginning of the show that Jonah would run for Congress eventually, and that was even something that like Arm kind of mentioned offhand, maybe somewhere at season 2 or 3, that he thought it'd be funny at some point if that happened. If you would pitch me at the very beginning that would be a possibility, I would be like, all right, well, yeah, idiots get elected to Congress all the time. There is like a rich American history of super dumb people being elected into the House of Representatives. We're very good at that. But I think at that time, you know, when we start end of 2011, beginning of 2012, you had said like he's actually going to have a run at the presidency, I would be like, well, no, that's too far-fetched. We pride ourselves on being realistic, and that would never happen. But if you look at how the political landscape has changed over the last couple of years, like going into this season when he is running for president, like you'd have to do much more work to convince me he wouldn't be the front runner. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, I do. It certainly seems that the past couple of years have made that more feasible, more possible when you look at sort of our current political landscape. Actually, segueing to that topic, this was actually something I was going to ask you later, but since we're there, you're obviously very active on Twitter. You're very vocal about politics on Twitter. Have you always been that way, or has Veep made you more adept at sort of political criticisms?
I don't think it's made me, I have always been, I think the word that you're looking for is loudmouth. I've definitely always been one of those. I don't know that necessarily changed that, although I do feel like being on the show has made me substantially smarter, not only from like my knowledge, like I my knowledge of how government works increased a lot. I was not a particularly good high school student, and so therefore didn't pay attention in civics class. So my general knowledge of how the government worked increased a lot, but also like just having access to people who know a lot about it, like not only writers jobs it is to write this show, but just people who have a history of studying it, like Dave Mandel is somebody who has studied government at Harvard, and Frank Rich was one of our executive producers, like a longtime political writer. Like just being able to be in the room for conversations with those guys has, I think, I've become much more knowledgeable about it,
right,
because of my association with them.
So I know I'd read where you at one point referenced basing some behavior of Jonah, you know, your interpretation of Jonah on real life politicians, and specifically maybe some a little bit of Ted Cruz in there.
Have you gotten any response to that? And are there any other politicians that sort of have that Ryan flair?
Well, I think like one of the things I feel like I think I misworded that sentence at one point. Like, I didn't actually like the Ted Cruz thing sort of came about when I was looking for examples of like I didn't change. I never based the character on Ted Cruz when it first started. And when he started running for Congress, I was trying to look for examples of like what kind of, like looking for examples of somebody who is universally disliked, but manages to have a successful political career, just like sort of charmless and graceless and universally disliked. And that's Ted Cruz, like trying to look for people in the world who make it realistic that Jonah could end up there.
Right.
And so I didn't like try to emulate any sort of like physical or verbal things. It was just sort of like, like this could exist because Ted Cruz exists.
Right.
But ultimately, I think it's just sort of like Jonah's kind of like a smash together of like a bunch of political aides and hangers on. Like that's sort of what he is. He's not necessarily the person that would have gone to Washington thinking, this is my 10-year plan, I'm going to be in Congress by this time. He's just somebody that went there because he wanted to be close to power. He wanted to be close to powerful people, and he had no fixed ideology. It was just, I want to be around where decisions get made. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I feel like that's a very common trait in D.C. It's like people who have no fixed ideology but just want to be around power because of whatever end that power can get them.
Absolutely. So backing up a little bit, let's talk
about... The other part of that question is like, if you don't want to list off politicians who absolutely suck, like that's very possible. Like Ted Cruz absolutely sucks. Lindsey Graham absolutely sucks. Like Senator Collins from my home state, she absolutely sucks.
Yeah, I think she's got a... Do you think she has a fight for a re-election this year, or do you think it's a done deal?
I think she has a fight. I've actually been... Actually, just this morning was emailing with somebody about this. It's a strange thing. Like, she is massively unpopular generally, but also, like, she's been around in Maine so long. Like, most people don't pay attention to it very closely, and it seems just like, the story about Susan Collins is that she's always like, she's a moderate and she works with the other side of the aisle. Like, you just, like, they've been saying that about her since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, looking at the numbers that she has, like, it's not exactly like a done deal that she's going to get reelected, but I do think if Roe v. Wade starts to get messed with, that's really gonna affect her. But it's not like she's not like on the edge right now. So trying to figure out ways I think basically me and people from Maine are trying to figure out what are the ways in which we could present some sort of challenge.
Who excites you as a politician today?
Who say again?
Who excites you as a politician today?
Who excites me?
Yeah. Who do you follow?
I'm really not looking forward to the next 16 months of presidential campaigns because, man, they're just terrible. I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool anybody person yet as far as candidates on the Democratic side, but like Elizabeth Warren is incredibly exciting as a candidate. She's smart and specific and has actual plans that she is detailing this early in the game. Like, she is great. And so I find her incredibly exciting. And she has a lot of experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So, focusing back on Veep...
Although, as our show would bring up, as Selena mentions many times, the country still hates women. So,
yeah,
going to have to figure out that.
Oh, God, it's so sad and true, some of the things that are said on that show.
Yeah.
So going back to Veep, and particularly with season 7, what was the experience like coming back from the break, you know, and sort of your first table reads? What was that like for you, particularly with Julia returning from her breast cancer battle?
I mean, I think everybody had, it was a pretty long break. I think everybody was just generally happy that Julia was in a good place. Like, not that we were ever, I was never really worried. I know it's a very serious thing, but just in talking to her, it seemed like she was getting into treatment. They had caught it early. So we were never scared in that way, but it's still a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody was just incredibly grateful that Julia was okay. And it, in like the best way, it felt, it was like the normalcy of it, like just how normal it was to be getting back to work, was welcome, after all of the uncertainty, just to know like, oh, we just get to go do the thing that we love doing. And we had a lot of, like, not that we ever didn't appreciate it, but it gives you a little bit of extra appreciation, you know, after somebody has a health scare, they're like, this is a really amazing thing we get to do. This has been a rare experience for all of us. And so I think it was that sort of thing. It felt exactly like it always does. We've always been incredibly lucky and excited to make the show, and I think at the beginning of the season everybody's stoked to get back into it, but it just had a little bit extra of like, let's really enjoy this, because not like, you know, let's not take anything for granted, and it, we knew it was the last one, so we got to just celebrate it the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at Jonah in season 7, he seems to be like, to me, he seems to be driven so much by this internal rage. You know, this anger with his father, you know, this anger at just anger in general. Where do you think that, would you agree with that he's driven by, largely driven by rage or partially driven by rage? And second part, where do you think that comes from?
Oh, God, that's a good question. I mean, who knows if that's like some sort of subliminal, ad from me. like driven by petty grievances. I think there is that thing, like that sort of like, he kind of always was that way before. And I think, but I do think that there is something to the idea that as people get closer to power, as people get closer to being, as people get more powerful, as people get more attention, as they sort of go up the ranks as he did, like there gets to be a moment where like they don't want to let it go, and they start sort of believing in their own, they start believing their own story a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And just that like that they are right, out of all the people that could possibly do this job, they're the only one that can do it the right way, and they're the only one that matters. And just Jonah has no ability to conceal that. He has no ability to lie about what that is. It is just, I deserve this, now give it to me, you know?
Yeah.
I think there is that thing. He's always thought he was destined for this sort of greatness, but he doesn't want to work for it. It's just, it's mine, give it to me. It's very much like a toddler's response to things. Does that make sense?
It does. I also think it's if you look at modern politics and modern pop culture, even there's this he sort of embodies that sort of white male rage that you know women are more, you know, starting to gain in power, and I'm resisting against that. I want mine. I want, you know, what has been promised to me historically because I'm a white male. And it seems like he's also tapping into that angst as well.
You know, I think he is, like, I think that Jonah is somebody that, like, would never be able to be smart enough to see that in himself and then exploit it in other people. He just feels that way. But he wouldn't be able to name it in the way that you just named it, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
He just feels that way and has no idea why it is. He's just like, and he does that Like, I'm laughing only because, like, he will say, he's the guy that says those things. Like, I'm fine with women. It's just, like, all the women I've met are bitches. Like, that's the thing. Like, that is something, like, that's a very blunt way that he might approach it. He would not see the connection there.
Yeah.
And I don't even know that he knows why people agree with him. You know, I don't think he's exploiting it to get votes. I think it's just sort of inherently there, and people are responding to it because they are also misogynistic themselves. But I don't think they, like, sat down to write. I don't think they wrote this season being like, Jonah's going to be the representation of entitled white male rage.
Right. Sure.
It was just, Jonah's kind of that way, and he's really fucked up, and he had this terrible home life, and he is immature, and has no ability to control his emotions, and so they're going to write toward that. And he is a little bit narcissistic, and a little bit, he's a lot narcissistic. And so, yeah, I don't think he was sort of meant to, I don't think he was written to be like an analogy for white male rage. It just kind of ended up that way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. It's, you know, organically reaching that point without being specifically an archetype for that, I think.
Right, exactly. Like, in the same way that there are Venn diagrams. One of the things I feel like the show did well this year was bring in things that are happening in the current political world. You know, like however you say it, like the Trump of it all. Like, we were able to bring those things in without being like, here's a Trump character. And right. Because nobody wants that. We didn't want to do it. Nobody watching the show would ever want that. But, you know, there are behavior overlaps with Jonah and Trump, and there are behavior overlaps with Selena and Trump, and just being finding ways to bring those into the characters who had those character traits already.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you brought that up, because that's something I noticed more so this year than I think ever before in Veep, where they are bringing in things that are more current political events, things like foreign involvement in elections.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite thing of yours this year has been the anti-vaxxer stuff with the chicken pox and the trip through the Midwest that ended up being a patient zero. Do you think they, you know, obviously there was some intent there. What do you think was behind that? You know, what were they looking to explore by sort of becoming more closely aligned with current political culture?
I mean, I don't want to speak for Dave too much in sort of what they were thinking, but my general take on it has been like, well, how else could we do it? Like, politics so completely changed, not only from when the show first started, but even from when we first considered, like, I mean, from like the middle of season six, mm-hmm. politics completely changed from when they were initially writing season seven to when we actually started getting back in and filming it. It has changed. Like, what? And so to try to, like, yeah, the show had to comment more on more and more recent events in a way that we hadn't before, but the show would be undeniably irrelevant if we didn't, if we tried to pretend that we were commenting on a political world that just doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And so I think there is like, I think that is the argument. Like, if a Veep fan came up to me and was like, I didn't like the fact that you had to add on all these things that seemed like they were so recent in a way that you hadn't before, I'd be like, I understand that, but I think you'd really hate the show that didn't do that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of it is too, modern politics is degrading in such a way that it just starts to mirror Veep itself. It's which came first, the chicken or the egg.
Yeah, I mean, like this is a joke that I've said before, but like at some point, I would even argue, even still, like even after the darkness and the cynicism of like the second half of this season, I would still argue that our show went from being a clown show of terrible politicians to an aspirational view of American politics.
Oh, sad but true. So, what's one of your favorite lines that you've had to read as Jonah?
Favorite of mine? Well, I mean, like, kudos to Eric Kenward, who's one of our writers. He jumps back and forth. He's a Saturday Night Live writer and jumps back and forth with us during the season. He wrote the line, "I'm eating so much pussy, I'm shitting clit, son." That was his. And to me, like, that is that is just that character distilled into, "I'm eating so much pussy, I'm shitting clit, son," into 9 words. It's like, that is that entire character boiled down into a 9-word sentence. And also the fact that it is said in front of a room full of school children. Like, that's a pretty amazing one. And I feel like the best general joke, like the sharpest satire that the show has ever done, was the mass shooting runner in the first episode of this year.
Yes.
And there was a line in there about Jonah, where he's like, obviously my thoughts and prayers go out to the victims in the Seattle shooting. But then he says something like, "But here is the hard truth. Sometimes the big shot lacrosse players in the lunchroom can bring this on themselves." I'm paraphrasing, but it's something like that.
Right.
And like, that is a massively harsh joke. But for me, the key moment of that thing, I can't remember who wrote that one. It might have been Dan O'Keefe, or it might have been Rachel Axler that wrote that one. But it's the "here is the hard truth." Like, that is a phrase that is used so many times by asshole politicians who are about to say something nonsensical. And so to me, like, that was also, like, for that to be a part of that storyline of the mass shooting storyline, which I do, I think, like, kudos to Dave for being able to land that, plane on that joke, or that storyline in that show, because I think that might be my favorite. And then there are just other really dumb, like, I just really like it when Selena says stuff about, like, that just show you how out of touch she is. Like, when there's, like, they find, like, in the finale where they find, they say, like, a man has been arrested for plotting a bomb attack at an airport. She's like, "Well, that's why everybody, that's why you should fly private." Like, she has no idea that people don't have the money to fly private. Like, I like those kinds of jokes that just put her so far out of touch.
Yeah, I actually was replaying for a friend of mine today the Little Mermaid back tattoo insult that she hurls at Rhea Seahorn. That is...
Oh, Lord, yes.
That was astounding in every way. Anyway.
Yeah, but especially because it's mostly directed at Rhea Seahorn, but then there's that moment at the very end where she talks about, like he's like looking at his own reflection.
Yep.
This is crass, of course, the line from the show about, like, he comes on her Little Mermaid back tattoo and admires his own reflection in it. Like,
yeah,
that is a withering insult toward Tom James too.
I've never heard anything better than that. I just gasped when I saw it, when I first watched it. And of course, I think Gary says, "Wow," in the background. And I would love to know if that was scripted or if he just was like, "Wow." Because it felt so, just like such a legitimate reaction to just being shocked. Like, everybody around her was shocked when that came out. It was amazing.
You know, I don't know. Dave has a long luck, and you said it a bunch of times, that every once in a while they just trust Tony so much to do something great that they will just write in a script, Gary makes a sound or Gary makes a noise. And I don't know if that was one of those cases, but also Tony is just amazing at finding little moments like that in the background, because he like might be one of the only characters that does respond to the language, that doesn't like when Selena is very crass, because he doesn't think it's very ladylike.
Right.
And sort of has those little things of, oh, wow, like, my God, I don't know.
So last question for you. So as you close this chapter of Veep in your life, how do you what will you miss the most as you look back on these seven seasons?
The thing that I'm gonna miss the most honestly is like the work with the ensemble. The work like when we have like sort of like large group scenes where you had a bunch of people all in one room together trying, like if the scene wasn't working, like trying, like sitting down with writers and trying to crack it and trying, like, and just like the general collaborative spirit of the show. Like, that's really what I'm going to miss. And then honestly, like, it's going to be the same answer just for personally. Like, I'm just going to miss being with those people.
Yeah.
Like, out, or, like on down days and knowing that we were all going to be hanging out as a group again just about every fall, that we could kind of set our watches to it. I'm going to miss that.
Yeah, the great cast, great ensemble.
You know, because politics is about people.
Yep. All right, well, I think that's everything I had for you. Thank you so much for the time. This has been really fun, and best of luck to you in this Emmy season.
Oh, awesome. Thanks very much, man.
All right, take care.